Well, Jules, of all the baseball games ever played, this was certainly one of them.
Yo, yeah. This was certainly a Blue Jays baseball game, I want to say, show.
The series could have been an email, frankly. That's what this could have been. I'm not sure we needed to spend all this time to watch the Blue Jays do what they did in Queens. They take a 5-2 record into Flushing. They lead with a 5-5 record following a 5-0 loss, a 3-2 loss, and then today a 2-1 loss. Like, honestly, if you had told me they'd be 5-5 after 10 games before the season started, I'd probably have taken it, but
sure.
But right now, Jules, the vibes, they be bad.
Yeah.
After getting swept in New York, 3 straight losses, a 2-1 defeat at the hands of the Mets.
It's pretty funny how that goes, right? Show a 5-5 record at this point in the schedule, especially, not the end of the world by any means, but there are so many different ways to get to a 5-5 record, and the way that this happened has just been pretty demoralizing. And the fact that the Blue Jays scored 3 runs in all of these 3 games here, left with no wins, squandered very, very good starts from their starting pitchers, just everything that they were hoping to avoid and everything that they were hoping to turn the page on after how last year went, and we're just right back where we started this. It's just it's a bad way to get to 5-5, show. Not the end of the world, but you clearly see that there's a lot that needs to improve for this team to get where it needs to go.
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're live on sportsnet.ca as well and on the Sportsnet app. Give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text us as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's text line always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. I mean, look, this one for me does not fall on the pitching. Bowden Francis largely was good decent to good, I would say. I know he kind of ran into some trouble towards the end. The walks, I think. He was pretty efficient early on, but I think the walks kind of hurt the pitch count towards the end. I thought Chad Green and Brendan Little both looked really, really good. Chad Green especially was very impressed by him, considering what we talked about yesterday and the whole, you know, the advanced metrics don't necessarily support how good he's likely to continue to be, but he looked great over an inning in 2/3. But it's not on them. It's not on the pitching today. I mean, you allow 2 runs over 9 innings and you lose because you only scored 1 run. I mean, it's on the offense. Like, now the offense, if you only look at this series, because of course you can't, like, things are not in a vacuum, but
for
just
sure.
In this series, because they just wrapped it up, the offense scored 3 total runs over 27 innings of baseball. Like, no matter how early it is, no matter how much we all expect these guys to heat up, no matter how much of a positive outlook, and I tend to be glass half full, but no matter how much of a positive outlook you can have on the season going forward, because there are 152 games to go, but you can't have that. That is absolutely abysmal. Here's a fun, secretly and not so fun stat for you. Bo, Vladdy, and Santander in 3 games at Citi Field combined for 1 extra base hit, and it was the Bo double yesterday.
Double. Yeah.
That is abysmal.
It is, and you know, it's not like the Blue Jays were without opportunities. I mean, they loaded the bases again, for crying out loud, in the top of the 5th inning, and then nothing, right? Andrés Giménez gets hit by a pitch. That brings in a run. Alejandro Kirk pops up, and that is that. At this point, Sho, I believe we're past unacceptable, because obviously the top of this lineup needs to produce, and frankly, for all the talk about being flexible, being creative, trying new things, this lineup looks pretty locked in place right now and not in a good way. Why is Kirk still hitting where he is if he's not producing? There are certain things to me that don't make sense in the grand scheme of things, as well as on the micro level. And when you look at 10 runners left on base, 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position, the way that it was today, including the final out coming from a bat that you expect will get $500 million, whether that's in free agency or sooner than that, that just does not look good. And that swing from Vladdy, I'm sorry, with Edwin Diaz struggling with command in that 9th inning, yeah, very clearly, you cannot be swinging at the first pitch like that. Just can't. And I understand that there's pressure to deliver. I understand that, you know, you are the big bat in that moment and you are expected to come through. That's just not the way to do it, Sho. And when we start to see Vladdy deviate from his game plan, deviate from what makes him good, and very clearly there is something else going on in his head, then this is what we get, and this is where the offense goes.
Yeah, and Vladdy, I think I heard Ben Schulman say during the radio broadcast that Vladdy's chasing more now than he had at any point last year. So we're not even seeing, because if you recall last year, he started slow as well last year, but in 2024, he was taking walks and he was getting on base at a pretty decent rate, even if it wasn't through power. And then remember, then there was some concern last year that he had turned into like a singles machine. And then he finally showed some power in the back end of the season. Now that's all very possible that happens the same way this year, but that he is chasing and is not showing off the eye that I think we all believe he had, that's a little concerning for me, right? I think it's concerning because the focus, especially in the last like 48 hours, has been, oh, well, Vladdy's going to get a $500+ million contract in present day value imminently, essentially. It's going to happen, like, if not today, it's going to happen this week, has been what all the smoke has been about. And then you see Diaz plunk not one, but two guys. And by the way, you hope Bo is okay. I mean, Alan Rodon was like a statue. Like, that ball just went off his elbow and it's like he didn't even feel it, and then immediately ran down to first base. And then Bo took a 97-mile-an-hour pitch right to the rib cage. So
that's gotta hurt.
That's gotta
hurt. Remember, it's cold in New York. So yeah, that must have been pretty brutal. And, good on him for even staying in the game at that point.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you could see the telecast showed on Sportsnet, he clearly was uncomfortable, kind of just trying to walk it off at first base, and I don't blame him at all for that. But then you have those two events happen. Like you said, Diaz struggling with command, and Vladdy like swings the first pitch. It's just, take a couple pitches, man. Like,
exactly.
Wait for your pitch.
That's it.
That is what you've made a career off of, dating back to 2019. Like, what's going on, man? So, I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating to watch. Your point about Kirk hitting where he is a good one too. I mean, there's a text here from Forbes in Toronto. And Forbes, nice to hear from you. Always enjoy your text. Forbes says on the text line, 590-590, name and location, why are the Blue Jays still living in 2022? Other than what could now be considered a fluke Silver Slugger season, what has Kirk done to prove anything other than a bottom of the order hitter? Since 22, his OPS has been sub 700, and his home run totals in single digits. He repeatedly overswings and pulls off the ball. And this is your number five hitter in the AL East? Good luck with that. Sadly, you can't have him in the nine hole, clogging up the bases, so they should be hiding him in the seven or eight hole. Let's face it, great defensive catcher, but offers little or nothing on offense. Liability every time he comes to the plate in a situation where he could hit into a double play. And, like, I mean, I like Kirk, but I find it hard to disagree with anything Forbes said.
Yeah, and listen, we've seen this in the past. His value is very much on the defensive side. And when he has to catch more often, his offense suffers. That has been the case every single time. And I understand that when you hear him talk after he signed his extension, you hear John Schneider talk about him. It's clear that the Blue Jays believe that they have found something else with Kirk, but the results are just not showing. So yes, he can get his preparation in Florida before spring training even starts. Yes, he can show up, with a different mentality and with different routines. And I believe all of that, show. I'm not here to argue that. I truly believe that Alejandro Kirk he has applied himself in every area of his game, but the offense is not showing up. So if that is the case, then why not just take the positives on the defensive side and make adjustments with your lineup? It's fine to admit that this is not working and that his value lies way more on the defensive end. That is okay. What isn't acceptable in my mind is sticking to something that clearly isn't working and your team is suffering for it, and you're squandering good pitching performances, not just from your starters, but today from the bullpen. Yeah. You're right, Show. No one can blame this one on the bullpen. I don't believe, honestly, that it should have been blamed on the bullpen yesterday either. The fact of the matter is that the runs aren't coming across. There are chances, but the Blue Jays are lacking that instinct to actually drive the ball when it matters. And that is how this sweep is going to be remembered.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Those are the numbers for you to call. Let's go to the phones, Jules. Let's go to Ryan in Innisfil. Ryan, welcome to Jays Talk. What's up?
Hey guys, how we doing?
Good. It could be better after a sweep, Ryan.
100%. I agree with you. I just have like a quick talking point today.
Sure.
I kind of want to continue with this like body conversation. If you're coming into a season and turning down $500 million+ contracts, you need to understand that a MLB season is 162 games and not 80 games. And you need to understand that if you're that guy, you need to hit in clutch situations. And man, since his best year ever, he just doesn't do that at all. And I don't know who he thinks he is, why he thinks he deserves this money. You really need to step it up, dude. Like, you really, it's cool to be clutch when we're the worst team in baseball and we're down 9 runs every game. But when our pitching staff is going out there and carving the world up, you need to be that guy. Like, look at the teams. Look at the Mets. Like, with Alonso killing it, Lindor killing it. And then you look at the Yankees and their whole lineup's crushing. Like, what is our excuse? And I'm just hoping that if it continues on this season, that that doesn't go into May and we can make the changes that need to be made on this baseball team. Because, dude, this is almost 10 years of these boys doing absolutely nothing for us. And it's tough. It's sad to watch. Thankfully, the bottom of the lineup's raking. Roden's awesome. I love that kid so much. I agree with everything you guys said about Kirk. That's really all I got to say is, how long is the chain, do you think, sorry, the leash for Vladimir Guerrero this year? Bo's doing what he has to do. Santander sucks, but I think that'll come around. Vladdy needs to figure his shit out. And I would not give that guy $400 million. If he continues to play the way he continues to play.
Ryan, thanks for the call. No naughty words, just a reminder for people who call in to Blue Jays Talk going forward.
We forgive you, though.
Either way, Ryan has called in before, and not the first time, but I do appreciate it, Ryan calling in, as always. No, look, he's not wrong about the offense. I mean, I told you that stat about Bo Vladdy Santander with just the one extra base hit over 3 games versus the Mets. I mean, you look at one of their better chances today, and I believe it was the top of the 5th inning. Heinemann gets on with a leadoff double, a few quick outs for Straw and Bo. Vladdy gets aboard with a walk, so I feel like I can't diss him too much for the walk, because as we were talking about this during the game, I mean, a walk is still a positive outcome, but when you know you can have an even more positive outcome from your batters. And Juan Soto is kind of the same way to a slightly lesser degree for the Mets so far through their early goings of the season as well. But you know these guys can do more damage by swinging the bat versus not swinging the bat. But still, a walk is a positive outcome. Santander also gets aboard with a walk to load the bases. And then Jimenez gets hit by a pitch to force in the only run of the game. And David Peterson was really struggling towards the end. I mean, you could see it on the TV, but he clearly tweaked something in his back, or he had some kind of back spasm or something really cropped up there. And he lobbied to stay in the game and then just lost it completely, culminating with Jimenez getting hit by a pitch. And then Kirk pops up with the bases loaded and the inning is over. And like, that's the top of the order. Right. And now, again, I'm not going to complain too much about walks, but you have a prime chance to do real damage, and it's instead pop-ups and flyouts, and that's concerning. And again, 10 games, I know it's relatively early, but I think 10 games is enough time, if not to make sweeping conclusions, it is enough time to be concerned about what you see, which is why I find it hard to disagree with anything the texters are saying, and we're going to get to some more texts in a sec, or Ryan is saying on the phones.
And frankly, show, it's, to me, the questions that arise are, is this a matter of approach, or what is the information that is being given to hitters right now, and why is it that they can't square up on pitches that are clearly made for hitting? Because how many times did we hear, not just today, but also yesterday, Ben Schulman say something along the lines of, oh, so-and-so just missed a cookie. Oh, he would want that pitch back because that is one that you can do damage with. That is one that you can drive. So many times these Blue Jays hitters have just let pitches straight down the middle go, or they have been mistimed in their swings, or they haven't swung at all when it's clearly a pitch that you can actually do damage with. So what is it that is going on right now? Is it a matter of approach? Is it a matter of game plan, or just digesting information? These are the questions that, again, we need to ask ourselves. And, you know, it was something that the Blue Jays attempted to address in the offseason. They brought in a new hitting coach and surrounded the players with a slightly different personnel. All of that is great, but it's not yielding results. And it's clear that the opportunities are there, and for whatever reason, these hitters just can't do anything with them.
Chris from Mount Albert on the text line, 590-590, name and location. He says, this is just lather, rinse, and repeat. Good enough starting pitching all series, but invisible bats. Very tiresome to watch the same thing year after year after year. And I think a lot of people feel the same way as Chris. There's one here from David in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, I believe. Says here, time to have a serious chat with Vladdy and move him down in the lineup below Springer and let him earn his second spot. No free lunch for Vladdy. I mean, like Vladdy, he's not going to be moved lower than third, for example. But I do think just maybe there is something too. And people have texted in about this before. I'm not like, this is not a new take by me, but maybe there is something to the idea that Vladdy is more comfortable batting third instead of two. Right. And so maybe you do have to contrive a way. And at this point, it would be contriving a way. But maybe you have to do find some way by hook or by crook to get Vladdy and Santander 3-4. Maybe Bo bats two, and who's also been comfortable in that spot before, and you just find a solution to the leadoff problem, sure. Right? And I mean, Bo has been fine, but I don't know. I mean, there's another text here from, here it is. It's from Darren in Bolton saying, show the Jimenez experiment in the four hole should now be over as well. The hole is up in the zone. Has it been exposed since the fourth game of the year? And now, look, I think it can still turn around, but I think we all believed that he wasn't going to be hitting like 35 home runs this year based on his hot start. But yeah, I mean, you tried it. Maybe you give it a little bit more of a runway. Maybe it goes until the end of this road trip, but something's got to change in how these guys are focused when it comes to a batting order, because yeah, I mean, three runs in 27 innings is not going to cut it. And now the Mets are a very good team. Like, there's an argument to be made that the Mets are maybe the third best team in the National League, right?
For sure.
I mean, maybe even the second best team, depending on how you feel about the Phillies. So they're a very good team, but it's not like you can afford to just beat up on the bad teams and lose all your games to the good teams. You gotta mix it up a little bit here.
That's it. Especially when you look at what the schedule is right now. If you're going to do that, then there's a real chance that you're entering, you know, the midpoint of the season not looking so good and not even looking like an actual contender. So absolutely, show. I agree with that. And I think that we have seen the Blue Jays scuffle when they're playing, you know, better teams or teams that are more atop of their game, let's put it like that. And listen, 100%, this Mets bullpen is very well constructed. It's clearly a good bullpen, and it's clearly, you know, made for swings and misses. We have absolutely seen that over these past 3 days. But the Blue Jays are a lineup that, number one, does not offer a ton of swings and misses, and we saw a lot more of that in this series. And two, especially the top of this lineup is constructed to do damage. And that is also something that we have not seen pretty much at all since the start of the season. So yes, absolutely. You can tip your cap if you want to.
No. Can't say that. that phrase is banned.
I didn't know that.
That phrase is banned from J-Stock.
Listen, if it's any consolation, I was being sarcastic. But if it's a no, even on sarcasm, absolutely, I'm ready to comply. But you know what I mean? You can definitely look and admire what it is that the Mets have put together, but you're also a major league team and you're also vying for postseason spots. So there is only so much tipping of the cap that you can do before, you know, you stare yourself in the mirror and figure out what you have to do to hit the ball.
Let's hear a little bit from the skipper, John Schneider, just wrapping up his media obligations following the loss. Of course, the team going to be headed to Boston for 4 games, then headed to Baltimore for 3 games, then back home to take on the Braves starting next Monday, not tomorrow, but the following Monday at the Rogers Center. So 3 pretty tough opponents for you, including the remainder of this road trip. So the offense needs to be figured out. Here's John Schneider on the state of the offense after 3 runs over 27 innings.
Yeah, it was kind of the story yesterday and today. I thought we did a good job against the starter. Yeah, you look up and pitch count is 90-something, I think, in the fifth. And just looking for that big hit, you know, whether it's in a crucial situation or if it's, you know, jumping out to an early lead. So, yeah, they were all tight, and starters did a good job.
So there you go. That's John Schneider talking about the offense. I would say today's game, but really after the entire series. And I mean, much like Griffin Canning last night, David Peterson was not blowing the doors off batters here. Like, he wasn't throwing in 100-mile-an-hour pitches here. I mean, I think he topped out around like 93, 94 miles an hour on both the sinker and the four seamer. So, I mean, the offense just could not capitalize. And yeah, the top three, black hole. And then the other part of it too, we talked about Kirk, but Kirk, Clement, Schneider, Heineman, Straw was how the rest of the team filled out after Jimenez. And I said to you in the pregame, Jules, that this did not necessarily fill me with confidence, and the results were kind of what we expected. And look, we'll get to David Schneider in a sec, because there are quite a few texts about David Schneider.
Sure.
But again, you're not going to, like, Ryan said it on the call, but you, and I like Alan Roden. Maybe Alan Roden is the solution to your leadoff problems if he continues to hit the way he's been hitting. I mean, like, I got to try something at this point. There's a text here on the text line from John in Oshawa. If you're looking for a leadoff hitter, put Wagner on a tryout. Like, honestly, I'm willing to see them try anything. At this point, right? Yeah. And maybe that would reorder Bo, Vladdy, Santander, 2-3-4 in a more appropriate way. Then you don't have to have him in as your cleanup batter, but gosh, they got to try something here.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, to your point, Sho, it's not that Bo Bichette has looked bad in that spot. That's not actually the point. The point is that the lineup just seems off altogether. And when that is the case, then maybe you have to try something at the top in order to reorganize everything else. But yeah, the way that things are going, it would be hard to believe if the Blue Jays rolled in with the same sort of composition even to start the Red Sox series. And again, I go back to the fact that this has been a discourse since before the season started, where this team wants to be creative and it wants to try new things and see what works and ditch what doesn't. But I don't know. This didn't seem like it would be the case even today. Right? I honestly thought that this would be as good a time as any to try new things and to see if something else could work, especially when you're looking at a left-handed starter where you can, you know, maybe mix and match a little bit more. And I understand that the splits for Alan Roden are pretty crazy right now against righties and lefties, but maybe you give him a few more at-bats against lefties and that normalizes a little bit, right? I don't know. And he's a very smart hitter, and you can be sure that that he knows about those numbers and he has a good idea of what he can do or what he has to do in order to get them to normalize a little bit. I don't think you should take out a guy like Alan Roden right now, regardless of who's on the mound.
You don't really have a choice, is the other part of it, right? I mean, you can't be, I know the reason Kirk, at least today, Kirk was hitting high is because Springer wasn't, I guess, good enough to start the game, although he came in to play at the end of the game anyway, so I don't know who's to say how he was feeling. Our pal Keegan Matheson had reported pregame that he was doing warmups and he was out there in good spirits, so likely maybe an IL stint probably avoided for Springer, especially if he did play today. But no Springer for them with the lefty on the mound and Peterson, they clearly felt that they had to take as many lefties out of the lineup as possible, which is why Kirk was batting so high. But I'm with you. I mean, Wagner, Roden, I mean, these guys have been some bright spots of the offense sort of so far in the 10 games of the season. So I think I do want to see more of them. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Those are the numbers to call. 590-590, name and location. Those are the numbers to text on the People's Text Line. Always open for your texting pleasure. Standard data and messaging rates may apply. Let's take a quick break, Jules. On the other side, we'll check in with the Bet365 standings update, and we'll go back to the phones, back to the text line as well. We're here until the top of the hour. You're listening to Blue Jays Talk. That's Julia. I'm Sho. We're back in a flash on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, I mean, just the two runs there. I thought he did a good job, and I think that the more he pitches, the more, you know, he's getting used to kind of navigating tough spots, especially in the sixth inning. Getting Winker there for the strikeout before Greeny came in, who did a great job today. But yeah, I think that it's more and more encouraging every time he gets out there in those spots especially.
That's John Schneider speaking to the media about Bowden Francis. 5 1/3, 6 hits, 2 runs, both of which were earned, 2 walks, 6 Ks, 90 pitches for Bowden Francis, 58 of them strikes. Welcome back to Blue Jays Talk. Sho and Julia here with you for about 15 more minutes or so. Still some time to give us a call. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. 590-590, name and location. That's the People's text line. We'll go back to the text line in a sec. But of course, Jules, as always, got to check in on the Bet365 standings update. Download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19+, play responsibly. Ontario only. Funnily enough, a lot of the games in the American League East actually still going on right now. Of course, the Red Sox are playing a doubleheader against the Cardinals, and game one you know, typically it started around 1:35 Eastern, would have been done by now, because it started at the same time, essentially, as our game. But this game's going to extras. The bases were loaded for the Red Sox, the bottom of the ninth inning at Fenway, and they couldn't cash it in. So this game going to the top of the 10th inning, tied at 4. The Yankees, actually, top of the 11th inning, one out, have a pair of runners on, tied at 4 also. So the Yankees and Red Sox still playing right now. The Rangers are currently leading the Rays 3-1 in the bottom of the 7th inning. And the Orioles are the only other team in the American League East that have wrapped up. So the Royals thumping the Orioles 4-1 as well. So with that being said, here's the standings update, knowing that this could change in the matter of minutes, essentially. But the Yankees 6-2, the Blue Jays now 5-5 after our game today. Red Sox and Rays both 4-4, both of those teams in action. And then with the loss, the Orioles are 4-6. The Orioles, kind of crazy to say, the Orioles have a run differential of 0 after the run differential they had when they left Toronto after a 4-game series to open the season, Jules.
Pretty brutal, right? And it's not at all, I guess, what we expected here, show. They had one very good game against the Royals in which they won 8-1, but overall the offense pretty quiet, as well as just a ton of runs allowed by that pitching staff. I think in many ways, if you look at the Blue Jays and the Orioles, it's kind of polar opposites a little bit. We are talking a lot about the offense here. The O's don't usually need to worry about that. It seems like pitching is where their problems mostly lie right now. So teams are seldom perfect, but when you look at the separation that the Yankees are creating right now, if you're in the AL East and you are contending for postseason spot, you should probably be concerned.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for the O's to have essentially replaced. I mean, Bradish is on the 60-day IL and Kramer is all right, but for you to replace more or less Corbin Burns with Tomoyuki Sugano, 35-year-old Tomoyuki Sugano, not even like the prime version of him, it's tough, right? That's a tough spot to be in. So we'll see how the Orioles do as we continue doing these checks throughout the season. Let's go back to the text line, though. 590-590, name and location. And let's talk about Davis Schneider. Now, again, Shane from Brockville says, don't stop picking on Davis Schneider. He's a 26th man on this team. 1-9, we're not good enough, period. Like, fair. I think it's fair. But at the same time, Schneider has to be better, I would make the argument, right? I mean, there's a text here from, let's see, where is it? I think they might have replied, so I lost it here. But there's another text from, because what happens when someone replies, it pushes the text to the top. So I sometimes lose them if people text a lot in a row. But Mike from Aurelia is saying, I think it was Max from East York, if I remember, saying DFA Schneider. And then Mike from Aurelia is saying Schneider and Santander should be out of there. Bring up someone that can put the ball in the grass. I mean, Santander is going to be here for several years, and I think he will turn it around. And I think you give a guy like that a little bit more of a leash because of the money and because of the pedigree and so on. So I'm not as concerned. Yeah. I don't have my finger hovering over the panic button. Even if it is extremely frustrating to watch, it's like a real painful watch to watch him.
And don't forget that the OPS in April compared to the OPS for the rest of the year, if you look at Santander's long career, this is pretty normal. Where he is right now is pretty normal. And at the end of the day, he has still produced, you know, way beyond regular value or wins above replacement. Yeah. So it's not the end of the world, but
doesn't make it any less frustrating.
No, especially when the guys around him aren't hitting it either.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. If like he looks wretched, but if it'd be one thing if you were actually getting the offensive production from Bo and Vladdy at 1-2 and only not getting it from Santander, it'd still be an issue. Don't get me wrong, but it's just so much worse when you're not getting anything from any of these guys. And then doubly so when Santander was supposed to be the guy who was going to largely solve some of these offensive woes. And instead, he's been one of the worst players on the team from an offensive perspective. Also takes some wonky routes to balls in the outfield.
Always an adventure.
Which we knew, right? Like, we knew that, but doesn't make it any less great. But Davis Schneider, I mean, God, like, he continues to unfortunately look lost. I mean, he takes a pitch for strike three the first time up. Then he grounds into an inning-ending double play the next time up. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he needs like a double torpedo bat or something to really get going. Maybe his torpedo bat is broken. Maybe it hasn't been armed. I don't know. I mean, I wish I could read John Schneider's mind when the camera panned over to him after the double play. Like, he must have been thinking, is there a way I can get Davis to Buffalo before we get to Boston tomorrow, like later tonight or tomorrow morning? Like, that must have been what he was thinking, because he just looked fed up with what he had been seeing. And again, I know I'm probably just reading too much into it. I'm generally just being silly about it, but man, I mean, there's not a lot worse he could do at this point, which is kind of tough to say.
And listen, it's, I don't want it to sound like we are picking on Davis Schneider. That is not at all what we're doing here. And I think that Show and I have both been vocal about, you know, how much we enjoy watching Schneider when he gets going and when he's good and when he's driving the ball and all of that. But even the 26th player on a team that is looking to make the postseason cannot enter the 10th game or enter the 11th game in the season with a 231 OPS. That's just not, and a zero batting average, because he has not gotten a single hit yet. And he, and this is a guy that right now is making starts for this team. So we're definitely not trying to pick on him here, but it is clear that this is a spot that is being misutilized right now, because Schneider has not found his rhythm. He has not found any consistency with the bat. And it's not like he's a defensive specialist either that can help you out, help you win ball games in that way. He's perfectly fine in left field, but he is not a defensive whiz. So this is about maximizing your chances to win and utilizing your roster to do so. And right now, it seems like there are other guys, Addison Barger included, who could fill that role or have the potential to fill that role a little bit better for a Blue Jays team that's really trying to eke out runs in whatever way they can here.
We've gotten some texts about, like, not just today, but just overall during the season. Blair and Barker have gotten these texts as well, just about, you know, when you make the suggestion that Barger should be the guy to come up to give this team some pop. I've seen a lot of replies, not from one person, but from a multitude of people saying, well, it shouldn't be like, we shouldn't be quibbling about calling up a prospect who may or may not be good in the majors, but instead it's on roster construction. It's on how, and Barker said this a billion times during the offseason, how you needed one more thumper. And even after you signed Santander and you did all these, had all these trades and made all these moves, you were still one person, one bat short of having a more complete offense. And that certainly looks, I mean, it looked correct at the beginning of the season. It certainly looks correct 10 games in, and I'm not sure Barger would fix it. But I mean, short of making some trade that you can't really go out there and forecast, much like no one could have forecasted they were going to trade for Andrés Giménez. I mean, the only real solution right now, the button you can push right this second, is to go out there and bring up Barger. And I mean, he would undoubtedly bring you some power. But I mean, again, the problem is, I mean, and there was a text here, and I lost it here. Apologies to the person who texted it in, but it was a great point that who would have thought, having a couple of years ago, who'd have thought having too many left-handed bats would be a problem, right? I mean, just a couple of years ago, it was all the guys who were the best hitters were right-handed. And now it's like you have too many left-handed bats, which has got to be, like Blair and Barker have said many times, a primary reason why Davis Schneider is still on this team right now, essentially.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I wouldn't, you know, put it past the Blue Jays to maybe try and make a trade here and make something happen in that way. But we also know that the farm system is not necessarily in a great place. So what is it that you can actually get in a trade without having to surrender, you know, the main faces of this club's future? They're in a tough position for sure. This is way more complicated than it seems just looking at the roster or looking at the lineup. But something needs to happen, Joe. And if they're not going to go out and actually try to get some help, some offensive help on the market, then that leaves us with the internal options to discuss. And there is room on this team right now to try out some new guys and see what they can actually do and see if they can provide you with that jolt until the big bats in the lineup come to life. It's just a matter of, you know, exercising that flexibility and that willingness to learn from mistakes and to learn from what's actually happening on the field rather than just the projections or the numbers or things along those lines. We'll see, Show. There's another big series starting in Boston, and we'll see how this shapes up, but something has got to give at this point.
I think, too, the road trip was always going to, I think, reveal a little more about the team because of the quality of opponent you're going to face. I mean, you're playing the Orioles for the second time already in just a handful of weeks. So I think you'll see a little bit more different results. And I mean, 2-2 wasn't a terrible way to start the season. But again, you're going to be playing now, not at home, but you're going to be playing in Baltimore. So you need to win some games in Baltimore. And I think, too, I mean, four games at Fenway against the Red Sox, that's not always an easy place to play. you got to pick up wins against the division. I mean, this has been an issue that has plagued the team, and you got to pick up wins anywhere. Like, don't get me wrong, but when you're playing the Red Sox and Orioles this early in the season, I mean, you haven't played the Yankees once yet. You haven't played the Rays once yet. You have to keep pace with the division. I mean, I'm not saying they're must-win games, but I mean, you gotta come out of, what is it, seven games against the Red Sox and Orioles to wrap up this road trip starting tomorrow. You gotta come out of seven games with what? Like, what's an acceptable win-loss record for you? 4-3?
Is
that what you need?
Just break even and you're probably happy at
this
point.
So 3-4 or about 4-3,
I guess. That's right. That is, I think, realistically, what you could ask for. Obviously, the best case scenario would be something more than that. But with the way that things have gone and just the strength of the schedule, how much the Blue Jays are going to have to ask of their pitchers here, I would say 3-4. I'd be okay with 3-4 at this point. 4-3 would be a win for sure.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's where I fall on it. 4-3 would be, I think, the most generous view of how you believe they could perform based on how the offense specifically has performed through 10 games. But yeah, I think anything less than 4-3 is, like, 4-3, I think I would be disappointed with, but anything less than that is a failure.
Yeah. And then at what point do you,
and then you play the Braves at home.
Yeah. And then at what point do you actually sound the alarm here? Right. Yeah. Because these games matter, it's early on, but especially these division games, this is where you can actually build some separation. So, yeah, it's got to be better than what we saw in Queens, that's for sure.
Thanks for joining us again on another edition of Blue Jays Baseball, which is brought to you by the local family-owned Kronos Control Centers in Hyde Park in North and South London. Proudest brand to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. Protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Kronos Control Center, or you can visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. For Julia Kreutz, Ben Schulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, I'm Sho Ali. That does it for us. We are out of here. Blair and Barker, have you said all week long the weather in Boston, I think, is supposed to be a little dicey. So if there is a significant rain delay at any point at Fenway, I will come out of the pen to relieve them. But otherwise, we will plan for Blair and Barker on Jays Talk all week. Julia and I will be back next Saturday and Sunday. Have a great week, everyone. We'll talk to you later.